All right, let me grab my water, my Sprite. I swear, I wish I liked dark sodas more. They're sweeter, but they make my pee smell really bad. Hello, and welcome to the Home for Anime. I am your host, GPC, Great Podcaster Callie, and I'm haunted by a mistake I made in my episode about Welcome to the NHK. In it, I used the song at the end to foreshadow an episode on Revolutionary Girl Utena. However, that song was used as the opening for the anime, which I have no intention of finishing. I instead dedicated myself to reading the manga from the start. I tried to make changes to the episode after I released it, but there had already been too many ears on the episode, so I had to leave it be. So here's my episode on the Revolutionary Girl Utena manga. Revolutionary Girl Utena revolves around a girl named Utena who, first and foremost, has an amazing sense of style and is beloved by everyone around her. She chooses to wear clothing that borders masculinity and femininity in a way that honestly makes me extremely jealous. Really, women in general can pull off just about any outfit. It's crazy. If you don't want to ask Utena, just ask Yara or Lum. Anyway, she has a knightly air about her due to her chance encounter with a prince early on in her life. And fuck, does not sound right. Least I got decent editing skills. It's almost like being able to change the past without anyone knowing. I wish I had a real time machine though. That'd be fucking sick. Hello and welcome to the Home for Anime. I am your host, GPC, Great Podcaster Callie, and as promised a few episodes ago, I am talking about a beloved anime, Revolutionary Girl Utena. So, Revolutionary Girl Utena revolves around a girl named Utena who has a knightly air about her. She makes me a bit jealous of her and girls in general in the way that she manages to pull off a masculine and feminine look with her style of dress, which is totally what? Okay. I wish I had a time machine or something. I don't know. Maybe I'll. Hello and welcome to the Home for Anime. I am your host, GPC, Great Podcaster Callie, and after 3 long years, I have finally finished the classic 1997 anime, Revolutionary Girl Utena. So first and foremost, I have to say, and you definitely know this if you are subscribed to my Patreon, the Revolutionary Girl Utena opening is my favorite opening of all time. The anime? Well, you'll hear about that soon enough. As an anime that aired in 1997. Wait, I already said 1997. That's so stupid. God, I hate doing multiple takes in one sitting, especially since my editing skills aren't that great. I've only been doing this for 1.5 years after all. Anyways, hello and. Welcome to our anime home. It's me, Cammy Langtree, and dude, I freaking love Steins Gate. A welcome addition to the time travel stories that science fiction has to tell. This anime, based on a visual novel, centers on the eccentric scientist Rintaro Okabe, a true mad scientist who cares for two things: his thirst for knowledge and his childhood friend Mayuri. Together with his friend Daru, Rintaro, also known as Kyomahoin, works to build a time machine, though we never really figure out why, other than it being some petty interest. I don't know how smart people's minds work. Especially mad scientists. Well, one day, he goes to this conference and finds this girl, Kurisu. She's stabbed and on the floor and bleeding and dying. He's really traumatized and ends up using this microwave time machine thing that turns bananas to goo to send an email, which they later on call D-mails with his cell phone, to the past to save Kurisu from getting stabbed. As a result, the past is changed and Kurisu is both alive and confused by how emotional Kyoma is, which, fair. But to be honest, the show just gets wilder from there. Steins Gate is one of those shows that kind of does all the thinking for you, if that makes sense. And that's wrong. What the hell? So, Steins Gate is one of the most fun anime I've watched in a while, and why does something feel wrong? I probably need to change the air filters or something. I've been a content creator for 5 fucking years and have been toiling at my dead-end job for 7. Really can't do better than this shitty apartment. Whatever. So, what makes Steins Gate so phenomenal is a combination of things. The characters are extremely likable, especially Kyoma and Mayuri. I really thought the two of them were just precious, and I love their friendship dynamic. The seiyuu really put their all into these characters, with Kyoma's cackle being one of the most enjoyable laughs I've heard in a while. Infectious even, since I couldn't help but chuckle when I heard it too. It really works because all of these characters are earnest and kind in their own ways. Just like that song, I Don't Want to Set the World on Fire. Nobody in the main cast is trying to do anything to hurt anyone, which is why their journey feels harsh. It's compelling because while you really have to think through everything that's happening carefully, there are always new elements thrown into the fray that make the story and world so much more intriguing. Who would have thought that something as asinine as a time machine would exist? It really does a great job of enhancing the time travel sector of the science fiction genre. I'm a huge fan and really wish something like that were real, because I'd change a lot of shit, trust you me. But anyways, because there's always something to think about, it's always exciting when you're able to put some pieces together and add to what you think the end game will be. I like the idea of a butterfly effect taking place too, like how amazingly Dragon Ball Z did it with the Cell Saga. God, I love DBZ. Would y'all listen to another episode about it? I know I've made like 7, but still, there's so much to talk about. And the final piece to what makes Steins Gate so impactful is that there are consequences to every action that's taken. At one point, a key aspect of the time machine is altered, which takes some power away from our leads, which, wow, it shows that sometimes it pays to be stingy while sharing, yeah? But really, I love the anime to the point where I want to play the visual novel. I really hope there's an English port that happens sometimes during the PS4's life cycle. If not, maybe the PS5 when it comes out. The animation done by White Fox is absolutely stellar as well. Eyes are something that have always made me uncomfortable, mainly because I can't look people in them. But I like the expressions that they give the characters here. They're oddly pronounced, and I can honestly say they're unlike any that I've ever seen in anime before. I remember that in my third mixtape, all my tracks were based on every work that Studio Trigger had produced. Wow, that was a cool 6-month project that I'd still recommend y'all listen to, even though it was years ago. I really worked hard those 6 months and loved every second of it. My biggest selling point for Steins Gate came from talking to my friend Shonen Mengo when he shared some drawings that he'd made of the show and told me it was his favorite. He's always been a great judge of anime, so I knew he wouldn't lie to me nor let me down, and he really didn't. I absolutely loved Steins Gate and a lot of the messages that it managed to give, especially how something that means nothing to someone may ultimately be what saves someone else. That really hit hard for me, especially because. Oh shit, it's time for therapy. Let me turn this off and. Okay.
Hi, Cameron. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing good. So go on and tell me what's going on this week.
I'm not doing well. It's going on 5 years since my dad passed, and I'm kind of struggling a bit.
I see. Struggling how?
Well, he really wanted me and mom to be happy, which we kind of are. I regret not going to college, even though I hear a bachelor's doesn't get you much these days, anyways. He was a real scholar through and through, though. He also really believed in the podcast, even though he didn't agree with the subject matter. He and mom always told me, whatever you're going to do, be the best at it. And while I think I'm actually really good, I don't really have anything to show for it.
Don't you have a following, though?
For as long as I've been doing this, not a huge enough one to reflect the time I've put into it.
I see. So, what is it you want to do?
I guess keep going. There's nothing else I can do, but I do feel bad about it sometimes. I miss him, and mom does too. I feel bad because she's getting up there in age, and I wonder why they had me so late in life.
Does it scare you to think about things like that?
Well, yeah. I'm an only child, and after she's gone, I won't have anyone else.
I see. Well, shifting over a bit, have you been working through your nervous attachment condition as well?
I'm trying.
And how many of your old friends have you tried to reach out to since we've talked last month?
Five.
Wow, that's actually really great. And of those five, how many did you keep in touch with, like we discussed? Cameron?
One.
You said this group would be willing to stick with you. What happened?
I got scared. Those thoughts I told you about kept coming back. Like, I feel like I had experiences with them and others that I know I didn't, but they felt too real. I didn't want to come close to any of them, even though most of them were good, because they looked like they'd end in failure. And no matter how happy I looked, it seemed like I was still suffering. no matter what road I took, everyone and everything would be taken away from me again and again.
Cameron, you've got to get out of your head and over yourself.
Are you allowed to say that?
I give you the most normal interactions you have in your life, barring your mother. Does it matter?
You're not usually like this.
Like this? We've been working together for 3 months, and this is our third session.
3 months? I've been seeing you for 2 years.
Okay, so let me dial back a bit. Cameron, I'm going to ground you a bit.
No, wait. Seriously. I feel like someone's been fucking with me for a few weeks now, and I'm not sure why.
You do realize paranoia can be a symptom of bipolar disorder if not treated properly, right?
Paranoia? Yo, what the fuck are you talking about?
Ding 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 ding.
Go crazy and get the Crazy Frog as a ringtone on your mobile now. For just £3, you can choose up to 5 ringtones a week from just 60p per tone. Get Frog 13 for the mono, Frog 14 for the poly, or Frog 15 for the crazy real sounds to 8888.
Hello, my sweet Saturdays, and welcome to Love, Machines, Anime, and Death. I am your host, Cammy. As always, you are my sweet Saturdays because Saturdays are for the girls and you are for me. So I finally got to watch Akira, and I 100% agree with everyone who says it's a masterpiece. From the grungy yet beautiful streets and landscapes of Neo Tokyo to the absolute fucking drip that is Kaneda's iconic jacket, this anime is one that oozes more style than even the finest of 90s anime fashion. Whether it's literally the entire cast of Yu Yu Hakusho, Spike from Cowboy Bebop, my own fucking closet, or the beautiful blend of masculinity and femininity that come from the titular character of revolutionary girl Utena. Tenjo Utena. Oh, wait a minute. My closet? Utena? Utena? Utena?
I love the way Steins Gate deals with PTSD. The pain of obtaining something precious and having it taken away from you. The way that it demonstrates that PTSD isn't just something that you get from war or abuse, but that you can get from just about any line of horrifying and harmful situations that was probably what meant most to me in this series. As the show progresses and we see the mental deterioration of Kyoma, having gone through so many traumatic experiences and becoming equal parts numb and terrified of what he believes to be the inevitable and his feelings towards it, we see that, as with issues that arise in people mentally or emotionally, there is always a catalyst. The hardest part is determining whether what's happening is our fault or not. This can make someone a subject to gaslighting or victim blaming, and it can ruin lives if not addressed. Not just the life of the person who has endured the hardship, but also the people around them who have to watch their loved ones suffer, which in turn can make them suffer. We all may have someone or multiple people like that in our lives who cannot cope, just like Kyoma can't. Watching him scramble is painful. He feels like he has nobody he can turn to. And even when he does, tragedy does inevitably strike again. Is this his fate? is this anyone's fate? What we deserve? Can we be the masters of our own fates? Feeling that the creator of Steins Gate may have had this in mind while creating the games and the show makes me happy, even if I'm just making it up. Between this and a talk I had with my therapist last week, I decided to start keeping both a written and audio journal because I want to cope with and overcome my why me moments. I may not have a time machine. My misconstrued and dumb ideas that someone may love me enough to watch over me and try to change my life for the better or for worse, whether it be some deity or head of some secret organization who has had a hand in my personal development without my knowing, or that I might be caught up in someone else's mess and am nothing but an NPC, even in my own life aside, I know I have to get over things that are bugging me. All of these thoughts that medications, talking to others, and meditating on can't cure, the feeling that my life isn't mine and is shared with thousands, if not millions or billions of versions of myself that all have different life experiences and senses of self down to the way that they breathe will forever haunt me. But I have to accept that at least learning coping skills and trying to learn how to better myself are steps in the right direction. I at least have that much power. Seeing that in the show and feeling that in me is why Revolutionary Girl Utena's manga rules. It's 7:45 a.m. Today's date is May 29th, 2024. I'm gonna be 27 tomorrow, so hooray for that. There's a positive affirmation. I've been writing in my thinking journal for about 4 days now, but haven't done any audio recordings yet. I'm about to get ready to go to work. The psychiatrist said to take half of a Klonopin in the morning to ease anxiety. She said to try to eat throughout the day and stay as active as possible with walking when possible, and to try and have friendly interactions with my coworkers and strangers, even if it's just a smile. When I get home, I'll probably take a nap and then get to work on podcasting material. I have a few episodes I want to record, but I'll need to do a bit more research on one. I think Steins Gate will be easy enough to do, because I've been thinking about it for so long, but Utena is still going to need a lot of work. I'll also need to figure out how to tackle the second half of Volume 5. I'm really glad I get to work on this kind of stuff, even though it makes me frustrated sometimes. I'm not always great with words, but it's made me a better editor. Also, I've made a bunch of friends doing this. Even though I feel like my life sucks a lot of the time, moments of clarity and appreciation like this are worth living for. I usually have water when I'm recording, but maybe since it's my birthday, I'll throw in a celebratory Dr. Pepper in there too. I really like dark soda. It's Dr. Pepper's probably my favorite of them all. I just hope my voice doesn't go bad because of it during the takes, but I'll cross that bridge when I come to it. I think today will be just fine. All right. Bye.